Welcome to Reflection Time, the program that looks at world events and everyday issues through the eyes of the scriptures, and as well shares with you some inspirational music. Welcome to Reflection Time. This is Paul Weber, your host for the program. And in the first portion of our program today, topic of Halloween, maybe looking at some scriptural references to see what the Christian perspective is on this and share some insight with you. But before we do that, before we carry on the discussion, we'll share with you a song entitled Morning Has Broken. First practical pair of roller skates was built in 1759 by Belgian musical instrument maker Joseph Merlin. Each skate had only two wheels, aligned one in front of the other along the center of the shoe. The crude design was based on the ice skates of Merlin's day, which were strapped to the shoes. Merlin constructed the skates to make a spectacular entrance at a costume party. A master violinist, he intended to roll into the party while playing his instrument. Unfortunately, he had neglected to master the fine art of stopping on skates. And when the big moment came, he careened through the room and crashed into a full-length mirror, breaking it and his violin. His entrance was indeed spectacular. Did you know that in the near future the devil's planning to make a spectacular appearance masquerading as Jesus Christ? But unlike Joseph Merlin, Satan has been practicing his dramatic entrance for 6,000 years. Welcome back to the program. As we mentioned earlier before we heard that selection by Michael Card, today we'll be discussing the topic of Halloween. Now this topic seems to interest all aspects of society. We found that last year there was an interesting article in the Muse dated October 28th entitled Sunday, Halloween Spooks Towns. We see interest here at the municipal level with regards to how to handle Halloween. There's an issue of should it be celebrated on Sunday or not. Not all Christians observe Sunday. Some do observe the biblical Sabbath of Saturday. As well, in the recent past, over the past couple of years, there is an issue even with regards to the St. John City Council with moving Halloween to another day of the week. So, and this seems to stem from the fact that this is an occultic type of celebration. It's not, really has nothing to do with the Christian side of it. So maybe, Mary, you can share with us some of the historical side of Halloween, where it came from, where it originates, why we celebrate it now and how it's come to be what it is.
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned that, Paul, because with computers today, you can actually go up and do a search on various things and find out very quickly some of the historical aspects of different origins. And the one I just printed out, if you hear things I thought we can share today, even as far back as 300 years before the birth of Christ, the Celtic civilization celebrated the festival of Samhain on October 31st. Samhain is their god of death and their most powerful god. Every year on this day, they believe the old year dies and the new year begins. It is the Celtic New Year, as well as the festival of Samhain, the festival of death. He is particularly honored on this day, but more especially on this night. And the great climatic moment will come at midnight. Darkness, fear, and death prevail. Many human sacrifices are to be presented to Samhain. At midnight is a high moment of the year of divination, spiritism, sorcery of all kinds. Darkness is deepest and death more sovereign night than at any other time of the year, and midnight is the climax. I thought it was kind of interesting, this statement, what they bring out about what the festival of death signifies. What do you think of this, Paul?
Well, there's no doubt that death is an underlying theme from Halloween. When you look at the decorations that we see up, the way, you know, children dress up in costume, and even adults, the theme of death is very prevalent with Halloween, so we can see that that is certainly a stronghold when it comes to celebrating this so-called holiday.
It's interesting also that we start looking at the trends, the history of Halloween, how it became so popular over so many years, that initially was very shunned by people, as we just read, as a cult thing, but through progression of time, we have seen how this has cloned itself in a new garb and has crept into actually even churches during Middle Ages. And we can see that that was just a way for the churches during the Middle Ages to bring people in. So instead of rejecting this pagan festival, they actually kind of just changed the name of it and change a date to start calling it All Saints Day, which falls on November 1st. And so we'll see, instead of, instead of actually showing from a biblical point of view that we should not keep this day at all and we should shun it, it was a way for the church in the Dark Ages to incorporate that in their own tradition and beliefs.
Yeah, it's interesting how the religious or the Christian aspect sort of, becomes entangled in the whole idea of Halloween. Yeah, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11, we read, "And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." So God is counseling us here in the book of Ephesians that we really should have take no part in the occultic or pagan practices, but rather reprove or expose them. And again, we read in the Old Testament, in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 44, verse 23, it says, "And they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and profane, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean." Well, we know, Mario, that God is not the author of confusion. He wants his people to be able to distinguish between what is truth and what isn't. And he's given us some clear evidence in his word as to what we should partake in and what we shouldn't. So maybe, Mary, before we talk about this any further, you can share with us some more of the historical information of the of Halloween.
During this time called Dark Ages or Middle Ages, when the church had such a power over the kings and the rulers and the whole part of Europe there, it was interesting to see what was happening in the British Isles, because All Saints Day came to be called All Hallows Days, since it was a day to worship all the hallowed ones, the Christian dead. Since Samhain always occurred the evening before All Hallows, it came to be called All Hallowed Evenings, or just Hallowed'en. From this it evolved to Hallowe'en, and finally to Halloween, as we know it today. Because of the relationship in the names and the adjacent dates, many today entertain the completely unfounded idea that Halloween is somehow a Christian holiday. This has made much easier for the ungodly festival to move right into the churches each October and flourish there.
Yeah. Well, just to touch on what you had mentioned there with regards to the, you know, the Celtic practices and how it was brought into what we know, or how it was incorporated really into what we know as Halloween. Another verse comes to mind in Deuteronomy 18 verses 10 to 11. It says, "There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee." So here, God lists several, facets that really should not be found amongst God's people. But what I find interesting is several of these ones that are listed here are individuals who are often portrayed during the season of Halloween, because divination, witchcraft, and issues of these sort are very prominent with Halloween.
Mm-hmm. And it's true, and it's also interesting to see as you follow through the history. You know, we look at Halloween as being a typical North American festival, but really when you start looking at it historically, you'll find that it comes very much originally from, you know, the British Isle, with the Druids, and we're going to talk a little bit later about some of the customs that were brought in, so like the jack-o'-lantern and...
Yeah, I find one thing that caught my attention there was the bobbing for apples. I always thought that was just an innocent activity as a child. But, you know, obviously that has was brought in as a tradition as well. In saying that, what I find from history as well is that when the Puritans came over and settled in the United States, they realized what the truth was behind Halloween, and they, you know, brought over their, you know, strong Christian principles. Mm-hmm. And that would have nothing to do with it. And when it was just the founding fathers of the United States, they had no practice whatsoever with Halloween. They had no involvement whatsoever. And it was when some of the other immigrants started coming over to the United States, you know, from the Celtic backgrounds, that these traditions started to creep into this society that was being created in the States.
We don't really look at the aspect of something looks very innocent where its origin is from. So, you know, it can be a disguise in a different garb, and we might just accept it innocently, not knowing where it comes from. And that happened many times when I have actually done some research and look back and been amazed how it's got its roots from an origin, occult pagan practices. And that, you know, as Christian, we should shun these things.
Sure. I've read an interesting article there as well, which caught my attention about how some Christian organizations try to deal with Halloween, but yet try to use that occasion to teach children some truth. So some organizations will recognize October 31st as a Reformation Day. Mm-hmm. Historically, I believe the year was 1517, was when Martin Luther nailed his, you know, theses to door, his 95 theses, which embarked the period of revolution, which carried on for centuries, and built on the work that was started with Martin Luther. So again, some of these organizations will have an event for the children, for the young people to get together, and instead of dressing up in Halloween costumes, will rather them historically what took place during the Reformation, and really how several people lost their lives throughout the years as part of the Reformation in order to put Christianity back on its footing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's very interesting what you mentioned. I didn't know about the Puritans and some of these, what they introduced in order to teach their children as well, their congregations about the origin of these things and what God's Word teaches. Because we know that, as here on the Reflection Time, we use the Bible as our guide, and God's wisdom is found in His Word. And so I found, you know, God gives us all this warning and for a reason. As a caring parent for his child, he will certainly give him advice for his benefit. And that's what God does through his word. He gives us this assurance that, you know, we shouldn't practice these things. And the one that really loves and cares for us is God himself. And, mm-hmm. and so, you know, he's trying to, draw us from the darkness, which we've been reading here about Halloween being a very dark day, to light, which is he is the light of the world. And that's why he's trying to, you know, bring us back from this, these occult and dark things that originate with Satan himself.
Yeah. And something else that we just touched on earlier before is the fact that people will talk about Halloween and say, ah, it's just a bunch of innocent fun for children. Mm. You know, what's wrong yeah. with one day, you know, they go around, they collect some candy, which, you know, itself, you know, is a tradition that, you know, comes from the past as well, that maybe we can touch on later on. Mm. But they say it's only fun for the children, you know, some enjoyment for them. You know, it's, what's wrong with doing that for one evening? But another verse comes to mind in Matthew chapter 6 and 24. It says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So really, we're servants of either God or we're servants of Satan. There's no middle ground. We either hold fast to the one and turn on the other, or we hold fast to, you know, Satan and turn our back on God. Mm-hmm. And the choice is ours. You know, who is it that we will serve? And by what we partake in, what we involve ourselves in, what, you know, customs and traditions we allow our children to participate in, really gives us a strong indication of whose side that we're really interested in serving.
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting too that I was just saw the other day in a clip in a paper, I can't remember which one it was, but it mentioned that it's not just for children that's become a hype now, Halloween. We know it's already started a month or 2 months before in the stores with all different costumes that we see. But I read that just alone in North America, there's over $11 billion being spent on these costumes, not just by children, but actually by grown-ups. And grown-ups are taking on this, and whether it be at work or parties afterwards, has become a very prominent thing in our society. And so again, with that, I was thinking with the various costumes and so on, and of course that has this historical aspect too, especially the jack-o'-lantern, because mm-hmm. it's new to me. Coming from Europe, I'd never seen anything like that, but when I came here to Canada, I was surprised. I didn't know what it was, you know. Over the years, I've done some research, and it's interesting that hundreds of years before Christ, on Halloween night, each druid dressed in hooded robes and had slung over his shoulder on a cord a large hollowed-out turnip with an oil lamp burning inside. Carved into the side of the hollowed turnip is a face, the likeness of the demon spirit that dwells inside. This spirit is the druid's spirit guide, his personal little god who directs and empowers his life. When the Celtic immigrants immigrated to the New World, they found pumpkins much easier to hollow out and carve than turnip. Among the English-speaking Celts, the hollowed turnip or pumpkin was known as Jack or Jock of the Lantern, referring to the spirit guide and this Jock or Jack who lived in them. It's interesting, in Deuteronomy 7 and 26, Paul, I read, do not bring a detestable thing into your house, or you, like it, will be set apart for destruction. Utterly abhor and detest it, for it is set apart for destruction. And that was Deuteronomy 7, 26. And I thought it was a very, you know, good advice that God gave here, that we shouldn't even bring it in, because it invites some of these evil spirits into us. Whether we're aware of it or not, we're actually allowing spirit and his demons to dwell in our own houses.
And it's interesting, you know, these traditions aren't just by chance. You know, they evolve and they creep in over periods of time, and they originate from something. They originate from somewhere. And maybe before we run out of time, Mero, we could maybe talk about the event of, you know, bobbing for apples and what that entails. Do you have any information on that, or how that came to be, and what the significance of that is?
Yeah, it's interesting. I didn't know myself. I mean, seen people do that, and I thought it was just a little, you know, fun thing. But really, when I looked it up, I was kind of surprised. It said, since Samhain was the beginning of the new year, much divining was done concerning the coming year, and many things were done to invoke good luck, which meant finding favor with the evil spirits for the coming year. A very popular form of this was to kneel around a tub of water and with apples floating in it. And the first one who could get one out without using hands or teeth would have good favor with the spirits in the coming year. Then each would peel his or her apple, trying to get the peel off in one piece, which gave the appealing practical power and gained special favor with the spirits. I thought, wow, this is amazing, you know, that something that looks very innocent and everyone seems to enjoy don't realize what they're invoking, what they're doing actually through this practice.
Yeah, it's got, you know, strong connotations to ancient fertility practices and as well to divination as well. You know, quite often, you know, somebody who could, you know, bob for an apple and, you know, the first one out would be able to perhaps foresee the future or divine in some way. You know, there's very deeply entrenched concepts there, you know, dark forces that, you know, we really, in fun or in jest, we accept our children to participate in. But, you know, we really ought to be aware of what we're doing.
Mm-hmm, sure. And the last scripture reference I'd like to share is from the book of Romans, chapter 13, verse 12. It says, "The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light." Mm. It's interesting. Halloween is always celebrated in the darkness.
Yes, indeed. And
you know, it's something that does not take place during the daylight hours. And that's in a literal sense. You know, this is talking in a spiritual sense to, you know, do not partake of the darkness. Put on the armor of light. So, any final thoughts from you, Mario, on Halloween?
Well, I think we need to be as Christians and the other ones who are searching out there. I will encourage you to you know, open God's Word, allow the Holy Spirit to impress you as you study a specific topic. Look it up yourself, and God will be your guide, and He will reveal all the truth that you need to know. It's very simple.
Yeah, very good advice, Mario. So this time now, we will bring to an end the first part of our program, the first half hour. Please stay tuned for the second half hour. As I mentioned earlier, we will be sharing with you a presentation by Steve Wolberg. This time now, we'll leave you with a song entitled "For the Beauty of the Earth." And this is an a cappella version from a CD entitled "Hymns Just for You."
For the beauty of the earth, for the glory of the skies, for the love which from our birth over and around us lies, Lord of all, to Thee we raise this our hymn of grateful praise. For the beauty of each hour, of the day and of the night, hill and vale and tree and flower, sun and moon and stars of light, Lord of all, to Thee we raise this our hymn of grateful praise.
Hope you've enjoyed the presentation. If you have any comments or questions, you can reach us at radioreflection@yahoo.ca. That's radioreflection@yahoo.ca. Remember this week to take time to reflect on God's Word, and whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, and whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things.